He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I need a good chiropractor for whiplash from the market this week. Wasn't it down 600 at one point yesterday? Well, today the NASDAQ is up 254 points to begin this Friday. It's up 1.6%. A lot of that is Google and a little bit Microsoft, okay? The Dow is up 146 to 38,232. At one time yesterday, it was down 600 points. There goes another crick in my neck there. The S&P 500 up 45 right now. That's 90 basis points to 5,093. The crude oil market's up 39 cents, 83.96 right now on crude. Gold is up $9. The gold stocks continue to do fairly well, but we have seen a leveling off here in gold prices around this 2400 level. Silver is up 11 cents to 27.47. The 10-year, okay, it's backing down a little bit. It got up to 4.71 yesterday. Today it's back to 4.65. I'm going to guess that the PCE was pleasing to the bond market today. We'll talk about that in a moment. And last but not least, Bitcoin is up 900 to 64,363. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've been following the rubber ball bouncing all week long, Barry. It's been a seesaw. It has been a seesaw market. You know, yesterday it was the big miss by Meta, which today was met with the big beat by Google. So go figure. I think in the end they'll both be okay.
And then Microsoft with a solid report too. So
yeah, Microsoft with a pretty solid report, which is pretty incredible that it hasn't morphed into an IBM by now or a Hewlett-Packard, but they just keep coming out with staying out there on that cutting edge. And yesterday you also had the very disappointing GDP, which is our gross domestic product as a nation. How much do we produce? And it was only up 1.6%. We were expecting 2.3%. And that's where those worries yesterday of stagflation came along, because if the economy is stagnating, and if the inflation continues hot, the two of those together make for a word called stagflation, which we had a lot of back in the late 70s. So we're off to a good start today. We're picking up a little bit of steam here. I haven't really had a chance to look underneath the surface, but from what I could tell very early on, was it was just really a few stocks that were really contributing, and the rest of the market was a little on the quiet side. So anyways, I can't wait to dig in more in today's market. Now, yesterday, at least it was encouraging that the market fought back at the end of the day. You know, we were down 600 at one point in time on the Dow. And by the end of the day, the Dow, let's see, was down about 350, I want to say. Let me get the exact number here. And, of course, the NASDAQ was also under pretty heavy pressure yesterday, mostly Meta. It's funny because while Meta was down getting clobbered because it's spending all that money on AI, guess what the AI stocks were doing?
Yeah, right? They're raking in the cash.
Yes, NVIDIA, ANET, and who's the third one there? Another one, they were up big yesterday on Meta's increased spending. So Meta's pain is NVIDIA's gain, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's the capitalism version of a wealth transfer, right?
Yep.
From Facebook and
from
buying
Zuckerberg
chips
to who's the CEO of NVIDIA? I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, I can see him right now. He's in his black leather jacket.
He's the guy. He's the dude right now. Well, the Dow ended down 375 yesterday. The NASDAQ was down 101, but like I say, it was mostly Meta.
Jensen, by the way.
Yeah, Jensen. What's his first name?
First name, Jensen. Jensen
oh, yeah, that's
Wang.
His first name. Jensen Wang. That's right. Jensen Wang bought a nice another Ferrari for his collection yesterday, and Zuckerberg tightening up a little bit, you know, as he's got to transfer some money to Wang. Okay, yeah, let's see what else. Oh, the other big thing yesterday were the interest rates. Man, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that we'd be at 4.7 right now, I have to look back to where we began the year, but I'm thinking in the low fours. You know, this was supposed to be the year of the pivot, which it is. I mean, they're not raising rates anymore, but this was the year that rates were supposed to go down into the mid-threes. Instead, they've gone the other way, and we got up to 4.71. That's where we closed the day yesterday. And that's going to be dependent upon the inflation numbers. We'll take a look at those inflation numbers here. Let me look at
Ten-year started at 3.91 at the beginning of the year, and we're at 4.6.
Under 4 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, right at 3.9, 3.91, and you know it's interesting as you said. I mean, if you had told me that we started where we started, and then of course the Treasuries are where they are at now, you would not think that the NASDAQ is up, roughly 6% for the year so far, right? You would think it would be certainly the other way around.
Exactly. So, you know, this is one thing that has kind of really blindsided the market, the higher interest rates. And I was talking to someone in the mortgage business the other day, and it's just not a good time. It's not a good time. I mean, you've got the refi market completely dried up right now because most people are in at 4, all right? Who's going to refi? You're not going to refi unless you really need that money out. You're going to be reluctant to sell your home because you're going to have to get a much higher mortgage on the new home. So it's really hit the real estate market probably the hardest and folks in that industry. I did notice the oil stocks were pretty good yesterday. I keep a little journal each day on what I see. And China's also been popping a little bit recently. I don't know that it's going to follow through. Let's just look at FXI real quickly. It would be nice to get the Chinese. It's breaking out today, FXI is. So if you're a contrarian and if you like to buy things when they're down, I don't have a lot of trust in the Chinese markets, but China FXI is up 1.8% today. Okay, I'm going to let Barry talk about the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. How did it come in today?
Yeah, good. Well, good news is it came in line with expectations. So you had the overall number, or the core number, came in at 0.3% month over month in March, which matched the consensus. That's what the estimates were, was 0.3%. It also came in exactly the same as it did in February at 0.3. So, you know, not much of a good news is not no surprises there. The interesting number is when you look at it doesn't necessarily feel like it, right, when we're spending money out there, but on a year-over-year basis, the core PCE index actually has risen 2.8%, which you know, compared to where we were, if you looked back, you know, say where we were 12 months ago, where that number was much higher than that 2.8%. So you're getting, inching and beginning to get closer, I guess, to that 2% Fed target. If that really is their new target in this environment.
Well, they prefer that PCE number because it strips out the volatile energy and food prices, so, you know, look, energy is one of the issues.
It strips out the stuff we have to have, right? Food.
Right. If you don't eat, you know, and don't go anywhere and starve to death at home, there was no inflation. Now, let's see. Alphabet jumps 12% as YouTube and search drive easy revenue beat. You know, I think there's a lot of people tuning off the TV for sure, the big channels, the networks, and I think cable news is just so scattered and so diluted. I think a lot of people are turning to YouTube for very focused, whatever their interests may be. And of course, Alphabet has a lot of other things. We'll talk a little bit about Alphabet and how it's performed over the last 5 to 10 years, 3, 5, 10 years when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm just looking at a few of these. There's a few stocks kicking in gear right now. NVIDIA is up 5.1%. It's starting to surge. Supermicro Computer is up 6.6%. It's starting to surge. And Google has pulled back a little bit. It was up 12%, but now it's up 9%. And they're thanking YouTube, the cloud, YouTube ad revenue, everything looking pretty good. In fact, that's a good quarter. I was just looking at the numbers on the quarter. Their sales are accelerating. I look over the last four quarters, their sales were up 7%, and then 11%, then 13%, then 15% in this most recent quarter. That's an acceleration in sales. They had a lot of missteps, though. And their earnings over the last four quarters up 17%, up 42%, up 42%, and this quarter, 53%. So they did knock it out of the park here. And, you know, I sold Google back in late February at about $136 per share. It's now at $170. So I missed out on a $35 move, but I just, you know what? I just got, I lost my confidence in them with a lot of missteps. But, you know, it
Gemini, remember they had the Gemini issue?
Yeah, Gemini was a horrible.
And everyone's coming for them on search. I mean, what people didn't understand is with AI, the first, you know, essentially search is the first, you know, thing you've got to figure out. And then everything else, right, is going to, you know, thinking is going, you know, underneath that, right, in terms of all of these different AI models. And so they're the ones that could, you know, are the ones that could be disrupted the most, right, potentially.
Yes. And,
so,
you know,
they've got to execute, and they weren't executing.
They were smart in buying YouTube because they really don't have any competition. Rumble is a little bit of competition, but not much. YouTube has become almost a channel in and of itself where I spend a lot of time on YouTube, even watching live stuff specific stuff, right, Barry? Like,
yeah,
I can search it and find specifically what I'm looking for, and it's
wonderful. when you mentioned it on the way on the as we were wrapping up the last segment, you know, you had me thinking, you know, think about my kids. The only thing the only thing my 12-year-old and 9-year-old watch on TV is, you know, live sports. Really, I mean, they watch a little ESPN in the morning to catch up on some sports, or we watch some live something together. Otherwise, they don't watch cartoons. They're they'll be on like YouTube Kids or whatever, and I'm like looking over their shoulder, like, "What are you watching?" And they're watching, you know, fishing videos.
Oh,
they're,
yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, some of it's more certainly more educational than it's actually on the TV. There's bad stuff there too, so you gotta make sure you've got all your settings right. But it's the new. I mean, that's the go forward way, right? To watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I watched. Speaking of live sports, my Padres were up 9-4 on Colorado in the 7th inning. I said, "Okay, they've got it." Went and ate dinner. Come back. They lost 10-9. They allowed 6 runs.
So then you were over 500. So
it's
now you're back
tough
at 500.
Being a San Diego fan, yes. Okay, and then I watched a little thing on YouTube, a little dissertation on the Book of Ezekiel. Now that's fascinating. But I just got to say, Ezekiel was the man. He called it. You read Ezekiel 38. I read today that Russia, who most people think is Magog, is strengthening their ties with Iran. Okay, now he saw that 2,500 years ago. All right. Okay, here we go.
Is he getting stock picks? We getting stock picks?
Well, I wish so, you know. But anyways, but the problem is 2,500 years out, you know, that's a long-term investment.
That's
so,
a duration.
I'm seeing some stocks surge here. Now, I just want to give you a little update on Google's performance here, their numbers. They have been a little inconsistent, but overall, it just seems like these big powerhouse tech stocks have a way of riding the ship because they have so much power. And so much of the market tied up. So over the last 12 months, Google is up 50%, while the S&P is up 24%. Okay, so, you know, look, we've talked all week about the Verizons and the AT&Ts and the IBMs of the world are completely falling flat on their face. These stocks still doing well. Okay, over the last 3 years, Google has struggled a little bit. They've averaged 11.5% per year. The S&P is 7%. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at, but there were a lot of miscues along the way there. And I would just say that Microsoft still has a large lead on them in AI. Microsoft came out with a chat way before Google. Then they tried to hurry theirs out in Bard, and there was just all kinds of bugs in it. Was it Bard? Is that theirs, or is Bard?
Yeah, it was actually Gemini. Okay. They have Bard too, but Gemini was the one that was the image one. Remember, it was like showing man some.
Oh yeah, George Washington was Chinese, or I don't know. Yeah. It just was not. It was goofy. Now, over the last 10 years, Google's averaged 19.3%, while the S&P is 17. So you take a lot of risk for those extra 2 points over the S&P. But it has improved lately. And then there's other big news on Google. This makes me happy. Google is going to pay a dividend. And so now, you know, if I see a good opportunity again, if the valuations work out, that would be the first place it would show up in my portfolios would be in my dividend and growth portfolio. Yep. I talked to a guy yesterday down in Florida, and he was saying, well, what's the overall dividend yield of your portfolio? And I said, well, you know what? The dividend yields may be 1%, 2%, but the capital appreciation is where you're going to capture most of your gains. And there's nothing wrong with taking capital appreciation for income, right?
Well, when
you
it's
can
cheaper.
Do a mix of in yes it's cheaper
in a taxable income, right? I mean, in a taxable account, right? It's going to be you know, you'd prefer, say, especially a long-term capital gain versus ordinary income on the dividend side. And I think the key, and what kind of how I would explain our dividend strategy, is you want companies that have the ability to grow their dividend through earnings versus through, you know, debt. I mean, you look at a lot of these companies, especially your high yielders, a lot of times they're borrowing money to pay your dividend, which doesn't sound very efficient.
And that's why the stock doesn't go anywhere, right. And that's why the stock a lot of times goes down while they're paying the dividend. I mean, it's just above a Ponzi scheme in my view.
A shell game would probably be more more PC.
I don't want to call the guys at Philip Morris Ponzi operators, but a shell game for sure. AT&T.
Yeah.
Okay, now Microsoft. Microsoft quarter is a drop the mic moment, according to, Wedbush. Well, Wedbush is always Let's just take a look at how Microsoft, it was coming back last time I looked. I mean, it's only up 2.8%.
Yeah, it was up, I think, started to, started after, beginning this morning, it was up around 4 or 5% or so. But it's, they had some good, I think some good growth on the Azure side in terms of the, data warehousing. So.
Well, I'm going to drop the mic here for the break, but I don't call it a drop the mic moment. That's a pretty big hyperbole there. But we will go into their track record and past performance when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on a pretty good day in the market. You don't think earnings move the markets? Well, you know, I warned you that this was a big week for earnings, 144 S&P 500 companies. And you can see that from day to day, the market is heavily influenced by one stock sometimes. Meta heavily influenced the market yesterday, heavily. And today you've got Google, for the most part, influencing the market to the upside. Now, when we finish the day today, I'm going to guess we're about 40% of our way through earnings season. I don't know where the numbers are going to be. You know, that's what I update. When everything quiets down and Saturday morning comes around, I look at where we're at in this current earnings season. And I make adjustments to the earnings estimates for this year and the earnings estimates for next year. And that's where the target price comes in. And that's where the macro call comes in. And I have a hunch. It's just my gut feeling that the earnings are going to be ratcheted down somewhat. I hope not too much, okay, because that would really lower the target price of the market. And at the same time, with the interest rates at 4.65, 4.7%, you're going to have to keep that PE, forward PE. I don't think the market supports a 21 PE ratio, forward PE, that is. That's where it was before this correction. Now we've been correcting. I'm going to guess we're somewhere in the mid-19s right now, or the high 19s. Which is still, in my estimation, a little bit high given this current interest rate environment. So between a higher or lower multiple and earnings maybe being lowered a little bit, expectations, we may see the target price going down this week. That's one of the most important parts of the newsletter, is that macro outlook. And let me just tell you, you're going to get more out of 2 weeks of my – you could watch – CNBC for 2 years. This is just, I'm just the top of my head guess here. You could watch CNBC for 2 years and waste a lot of time. I think you're going to get more in 2 weeks of the newsletter. I really do. The education. I've made it a habit now on all these stocks that are reporting earnings of taking a snippet from the app and putting it below the stock and showing you what it's done. Here's the past performance. Okay, no different than a center fielder for the Astros or a horse running in the fifth race at Aqueduct. You know, they have a past performance. And while they say past performance is no guarantee of future results, but it's a pretty good predictor, right, Barry? It's a pretty good predictor. If you've got a pitcher coming up, which we don't see that anymore in baseball. No more pitchers batting. My wife is totally against the designated hitter. But I like the designated hitter mice. I hate to see a pitcher come up there and wave at three pitches and then sit down, you know.
Yeah, right.
But look, that track record, is it means a lot. Okay, so let's look at Microsoft's track record here. We really talked about some stinkers this past week. Now let's look at a good stock, obviously. And you know what? Microsoft has not yet gone the way of IBM and Hewlett-Packard and Intel. Wait till we get to Intel a little bit later. Man, I'm going to have to talk faster to get through all of these stocks. But Microsoft, over the last 10 years, has done way better than Google. Microsoft has delivered 26% per year. That's phenomenal. For a stock that size, that's doubling your money every 3 years, a little under 3 years. Over the last 5 years, it's averaged 25% per year. Over the last 3 years, 16%. I think Google's around 11. And over the last 12 months, it's up 45%. We still have a big position in Microsoft. Now let's go to the other side of the street. Okay, let's cross the street, make sure we don't get run over by an Intel robo-taxi. Not Intel, a Tesla robo-taxi. I don't know about that. I don't know that that's the big deal. Oh, let's not forget Tesla's earnings this past week, too, but a lot of it was jobboning, talking about, oh, yeah, 2025, we'll have that affordable car. Oh, yeah, the robo-taxi's coming. Well, Intel, we just heard Microsoft, 25% per year average return over the last 10 years. Intel, 2.8. Okay, I mean, the market's done 17. So go ahead, take market risk and buy Intel. But listen to this. I mean, over the last 5 years, Intel has gone down by 9% per year. It's lost 50% of its value. And over the last 3 years, the average is minus 17%. So far this year, it's down 30%. Now, everybody got excited, including myself. But I never did step up to the plate and buy it because I had my doubts. Man, this thing has just been crushed. It hit 51 at the end of last year. Now it's 31. So now it's down 38% from its high. It's down 11% today. I mean, the only word you can say is ugh. That is horrible.
Well, and getting into that business that there was actually talking to someone about it yesterday afternoon. But, yeah, to get into, you know, that business in terms of the foundry, you know, in expanding that foundry business, it's a very capital-intensive business, and they're not going to see that revenue for, you know, a handful of years. And that's really what they were touched on in the, among other things, on the earnings call. And, yeah.
And thin margins, too.
Yeah.
Not good. Okay, now, how about big oil? I've had a lot of people say, you know, I call those kind of, I have a name for those stocks. They're cigar boxes. Your great-great-grandfather or great-grandfather bought Chevron, you know, and just kept buying it and reinvesting the dividends, and he's got some stock certificates in his cigar box that reek of cigars, and it's done really well over time. But you know what? Lately, oil, it's really unpredictable. And I'm just looking at Chevron, okay? Now, you're going to get a dividend, yes, okay? The dividend is 4%. You're going to get a 4% dividend. But what about capital appreciation? Well, you go back 10 years ago, and here we are today, it's delivered 2.9%. You know, Microsoft was 26. 2.9 plus the dividend, so you're averaging 6-7% per year with a lot of risk. We had a year where oil went to zero, right, in the COVID year. They were giving, they were paying you to come get the oil out of their
yeah, they wanted
their
you to
yard.
Come, yeah, come take it, get, put and actually take the barrels, please. Not the,
yes.
not just the futures contract.
Okay, has Exxon done any better? Okay, well, I'm going to guess that Exxon's pretty much mirrored the returns of Chevron.
Yeah, actually, I think it's been a bumpy ride, but I think I was reading something, Exxon actually was trailing them and now has blown past them, and it had to do with some of their investments that they made a few years ago, which of course hurt their capital, and then eventually now they're getting the payoff for it. So it's been a little bit of a back and forth race between Chevron and Exxon.
Now if you catch them at the right time, okay, Exxon was up 80% in 2022. That was the place to be as natural gas prices soared. And let's see, in 2022, I think Chevron was up about 75%. But over the long haul, Exxon's delivered 2% per year, plus that 3.5% dividend yield. So we'll call it 5%. Over the last 5 years, it's been a little better with the dividend, about 12% per year over the last 5 years. I think Exxon's the better of the two. By quite a bit, and over the last 3 years, 30% per year. But over the last 12 months, it's really... Now, here's where, you know, it's kind of a stock that you have to buy at the right time. Over the last 12 months, it's up 4%, and the S&P's up 24%. So, you know, it's tough. I personally think a better way to play the oil and gas is through the refiners. So let's look at PSX, which is Phillips 66. It's delivered almost 7% over the last 10 years. That's quite a bit better than Exxon and Chevron, and it pays about the same dividend yield, 3%. Over the last 10 years, it's delivered about 10% per year, and over the last 5 years, 13%, and it's up 58% over the last 12 months. So I'm just looking at it. I mean, you can buy the Exxons and the Chevrons, but I think the sweeter spot is there in the Valeros, Phillips 66, Marathon. They also are big refiners, and we don't have a lot of refineries, so that gives them a lot of pricing power. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to look underneath the surface of the market. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now. Sean, I'm going to go really fast in this last few minutes to try to get through the Dow, the NASDAQ, S&P 500. The Dow is up 187 right now. It's holding its support level at 38,000. Now, remember, it got almost to 40,000, so we're down a couple thousand points, about 5% in this current correction. A drop below 38,000 wouldn't be good, because that would mean that you still have further to go, maybe another 4 or 5% in the correction. But for now, it's holding 38,000. That's a key support level. Now, as I look inside the Dow today, what's driving that? Where are we getting those 183 points from on the gains? Amazon up 2.7, Microsoft up 2.4, Caterpillar up 1.6. Now, the Dow would be up quite a bit more were it not for Intel down 11.1 and Exxon down 3.8. So, yeah, maybe it's time to replace Intel in the Dow with NVIDIA or AMD. You know, I don't know that Intel is that great. As far as I know, I got to update my Dow. I'm showing 32 stocks in the Dow right now, so I've got two that aren't in there anymore. I'll get that updated, but I'm pretty sure Intel is still in there. Okay, now let's look at the S&P 500. And I send out alerts here every morning, usually on the current state of the big indexes. The S&P 500 right now is up pretty good. I mean, it's had a big bounce off this 4,900 level. It's up 50 points. It got as high as 5,264. We're at 5,100. We're down 150 points, so that's about a 3% correction so far in the S&P. We've been further. We really tested it last week. We were down 5%. And you have a very important support level there that it needs to hold on the S&P, which is right under 5,000.
Yeah, and after 6 days in a row of being down, a six-day losing streak over the last 5 days.
Four S&P's, out of five.
Yeah, last five days, S&P's actually up 2.45%, so
yes.
A bounce-back week for them.
Yes, yesterday was pretty ugly, but other than that, now I'm going to check that S&P 500, those earnings. We'll see where that comes in for the macro outlook. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. You'll learn more in 2 weeks of reading that newsletter, I think, than spending a heck of a lot of time watching all the guys there and gals on the financial channels. Okay, and the S&P ResMed, the sleep apnea stock from San Diego, is up 17%. Newell Brands is up 14%. That's Rubbermaid. That's an exciting stock. Google's up 9.9%. Supermicro's up 6.4%. And NVIDIA's up 5.1%. Those are the winners in the S&P 500 today. On the downside, once again, Intel, a rotten apple. They're down 10.9% right now. Aon, an insurance stock, down 7.8%. And Old Dominion is down 6.5%, a trucking stock. And then Exxon down 4.1%. Dexcom down 6.1%. Okay, so now, last but not least, let's take a look at what's driving the NASDAQ. But first, let's look at the overall picture of the NASDAQ. It's holding its support level, which is just above 15,100. And it's bouncing hard today on that Google news. It's at 15,940. But let's not forget, it got hammered yesterday. Meta's news was not so good. But the NASDAQ's up 328 right now, up 2.11%. Holding its support level, still on its golden cross where the 50-day cross is over the 200. That happened a long time ago. The winners on the NASDAQ today are Google up 10%, JD.com up 4.9%. That's in a Chinese tech stock. NVIDIA up 4.9%. Clack, KLA, which is semiconductor equipment, up 4.7%. And Broadcom up 4.1%. So tech's really starting to kick in here today. And on the downside in the NASDAQ, we've got Intel down 10.7%. American Airlines are a horrible place to invest, down 3.1%. Charter Communications, a horrible stock, down 2.5%. All right, well, you know what? It's dicey right now. One day you get a good day, and then the next day bad day. We still got a lot of earnings yet to go. But I would say that the vast majority of the really important stocks have now reported, are now in, and we're going to have a really good idea not only for the full year 2024, the earnings for the S&P, but the full year next year. I think the estimates are going to be ratcheted a little lower. We'll see. And then, of course, you multiply that by a multiple, and you get a target price. And I don't know. We'll see where we're at in the newsletter tomorrow. We did find some new stocks this week. I bought a brand new one yesterday in the Ultra Growth portfolio. I bought several, I think, in the Emerging Growth portfolio, and I'm zeroing in on a couple of big large caps. So this should be an interesting newsletter. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Now, to set up an appointment with us, you know, we rattle off a lot of bad stocks on the air here. Maybe we should call it worse stocks now, because there's definitely more worse stocks now than there are best stocks now. Maybe you own a bunch of them. You're saying, why? Why am I in these duds? I don't know. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. And you know what? I talked to a guy yesterday, and he just rattled off the stocks that he owns. And he had half good, maybe a third good and two-thirds not so good. It comes down to looking at the track record. What have these stocks done? You're taking a lot of risk owning a stock. Market risk to get zero performance out of it, that's not a good equation. So you can set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. We have solidified our Minnesota trip, and we may have another event there while we're there that we haven't announced yet. But Minnesota, 21st, 22nd, 23rd of May. May at the Radisson Blu. The team will be there. That will fill up. We may have to add Monday and Friday. I don't know. We'll see. But that will be May 21st, 22nd, 23rd to reserve a meeting with myself and Barry. Call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.